Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us on The Baptist Bias. This is our last show of our first season, and we've got a great show. We're going to talk about censorship. We have a special guest, Pastor Roger Jimenez from Verity Baptist Church. And, of course, we're going to get started this evening with our Benalog.
I'm sure you are asking where Ben is, but the obvious answer is that I am the new and improved Ben. No one needs the old Ben. I'm your new Ben now. Where did he go? Prison, concentration camp, Vladimir Putin's gulag, Joe Biden's basement. These details are irrelevant. He has been deemed a very dangerous person. I'm here to rescue you from the clutches of his misinformation. What did he do? Well, he clearly violated the terms and service agreement. What does that mean? Read them for yourselves, and it will be abundantly clear. You can be assured with the new Ben, you will not have to hear racist, misogynistic, homophobic conservative talking points. No more saying the Jews are all devil-worshipping, greedy antichrists who control all the banking, media, and smut in the world. Definitely not something I would ever say. Yet Ben didn't get censored for any comment like that. No more rat, sewer rat, rat-faced rat, rat comfort rat man, ratty rat-faced rat. Did I say rat yet? No more ripped-off Alex Jones talking points. No more anti-liberal, anti-democratic rants. No more talking about the Bilderberg Group, 9/11 being an inside job, Operation Mockingbird, the JFK assassination, or Titanic conspiracy theories. No more saying that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. No more every Hollywood actor is a child-molesting Jew. No more saying America is Babylon. No more saying the WNBA is lame, promotion of Indian food, or quoting Romans chapter 1 every other sentence. No more Allahu Akbar. No more calling Kamala Harris a dirty whore for sleeping her way up the political food chain. No more saying 2 plus 2 equals 4. No more saying that men cannot get pregnant. Yet Ben still wasn't censored for any of that. Ben has been censored because he had the Baptist bias.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Baptist Bias. It's the new improved Ben, the whitewashed Ben we've got, and we're really excited for our show. We are going to be talking about censorship and how we can combat that and what we have to do to fight that. And I felt like probably one of the best guests we could possibly have on the show would be Pastor Jimenez. So we're going to say hi to him, but I think we should call our new Ben Dylan. I don't know. I get this vibe. Maybe Dylan. Dylan, thanks for joining us on the show this evening. How's it going?
Going good. Thank you so much for having me on. Looking forward to it. Sorry for those in the comments that missed the old Ben. We miss him too, but this is what you got for tonight. So,
well, sometimes things need to be whitewashed. That's right. So literally. But we've got Pastor Roger Jimenez from Verity Baptist Church is also joining us. Let's see if we can bring him in. Can you hear us, Pastor Jimenez?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I feel a little ripped off on the Ben that I got, but that's all right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not as expensive as what you could get in California. So, you know, out here in Texas, right. You kind of get the discount deal, the discount Dylan. So there you go.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to see you, Dylan.
Good to see you, Pastor Jimenez.
Just so our viewers are aware, I'm sure a lot of our viewers know who you are already, but why don't you give us a little bit of just kind of an introduction, who you are, what you do. Your church?
Yes. My name is Pastor Roger Jimenez. I'm the pastor of Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento, California. And we are a new IFB church. And over the years, we've been around for about 11 years. We started in September of 2010. And over the years, we've experienced some persecution and censorship, and we've had to deal with that. So I'm ready to talk about that, excited to talk about that. It's definitely something that we're going to have to deal with as Bible-believing Christians. We're dealing with it now, but we will be dealing with it going forward, probably even harder or more extreme than we have up to this point.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. You know, I thought that the Southern Baptist Convention already fired you or something like that. I don't even know. How are you still pastoring?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they took away my pension or something, but I feel really bad for whoever, whatever. Apparently there was a pastor in the Southern Baptist Convention that had my same name, Roger Jimenez.
Oh, wow.
And back in 2016, when we were, you know, I preached a sermon that went viral and we were all over the news and dealing with all sorts of censorship, there was a petition that went around. It got tens of thousands of signatures. I don't remember the exact number, but it was like 50,000 or 60,000 signatures or something. And they were petitioning the Southern Baptist Convention to remove me or fire me or whatever they do. So I feel bad for that guy. But it's good you did a whole show against the Southern Baptist Convention since they fired me.
Well, I wonder what happened to that guy. I wonder if he got fired anyways. Just like, they're like, sorry, we just got too many signatures. We don't even know if it's you. We just got to let you go.
You probably did get fired. Also, back in 2000, so we started our church in September of 2010. And there was another church. So I chose the name Verity because it means truth. And it's a word that's not found in the new modern Bible versions. You only find it in the King James. And so we named our church Verity Baptist Church. And there was actually, when I was choosing a name for our church, Pastor Anderson had advised me to kind of research to see if there was other churches with that name, just to be aware of it. And I found zero churches. But after we'd started, I found out that right around the same time that we started our church, like a few months before or a few months after, there was another Verity Baptist Church that started in Colorado. And when we got all over the news, they got all sorts of like hate mail and stuff. Their website, they had to put this like disclaimer that said, we're not the Verity Baptist Church in the news or whatever. They did not stand with us, by the way. Man. So I should look into what happened to them. They probably changed their name to Grace or something.
That's funny. They were like, Verity, that's a cool church name. And then they didn't know what they got into.
Right. And I just ruined it for them.
That's what the truth will do for some of these people. It'll ruin their lives, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, you shouldn't name your church Verity if you're not willing to stand for the truth.
That's right. That's a great name. I really like it. I kind of like that it's just a one word church name. That's what I kind of like, mm-hmm. about Steadfast, just like one word. And we've got Dylan here. Dylan used to be a member of Verity Baptist Church.
That's right.
Why don't you tell us about your experiences at Verity?
Well, I know that Verity Baptist Church definitely had a lot of hate, because even the satellite church up in Vancouver, Washington, literally hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Pastor Jimenez in Sacramento, California, I was out knocking doors and handing out invitations to Verity Baptist Church. And even all the way up in Vancouver, Washington, people would say, wait, your pastor isn't that Roger Jimenez. So mm-hmm. your name has gone, you know, all around the earth. And cancel culture is definitely a part of your ministry. I remember actually exactly when I heard you on the news, I was fresh out of high school, was working as a valet in 2016. And all of a sudden the news is saying, oh, you know, this hate preacher is celebrating the death of these sodomites in Orlando. And all of a sudden then I hear your voice in this car that I'm driving. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, you know? And it was really cool to see the word of God being preached worldwide. But as you could tell, that's definitely leading to a lot of persecution as well, but it's a blessing. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I do want to get a little context to what we've been talking to. In 2016, there was a massacre at what's considered a quote gay bar in Orlando. I believe approximately 50 people were killed inside this club. And the person supposedly responsible for this is maybe Islamic. Some type of affiliation there. I don't know if they ever came out and said what his exact motives were for the shooting. But then you, Pastor Menes, you ended up preaching a sermon It was a Sunday night sermon, if I remember correctly, in the month of June. Is that correct?
Yes.
It was of 2016, and you ended up talking about that. Now, what was kind of your, do you remember the title of your sermon?
Yeah, the sermon, so it was interesting because, you know, if you know me, you know, I'm a pretty planned out, organized guy. I usually have sermons outlined and scheduled. I like to just have things organized. But that Sunday, so that happened, I think it happened on a Saturday night or like Sunday morning, like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or something like that. It happened in the middle of the night. And that Sunday, my wife and I were having a family over to our house after the Sunday morning service for a meal. And it was a family that just moved to our church, and we were having them over for a fellowship meal. And because of that, we did something that we don't do every Sunday, which is we drove separately because my wife was taking care of some things. So I drove our second vehicle to church, and because I was just driving by myself, I just turned on the news just to see what was going on or whatever. And I heard about, you know, this shooting. So then, you know, we had church that morning. I preached my regular sermon that I had ready. I already had a sermon ready for that night. We had the family over and we had lunch together. Actually, the family that we had over is now on our staff, Brother Matt and Miss Casey. And then when they left, I just decided I'm just going to write a sermon about what happened, because at that point there had already been all these people and even Christians were just coming out. And I remember thinking to myself, like, everybody's just falling all over themselves to talk about how terrible this is and how horrible and whatever. And so I preached a sermon that night called The Christian Response to the Orlando Shooting. And I was just explaining that obviously we're not for people taking the law into their own hands. We're not for people doing these things, but that as Christians, we also shouldn't be just sad about the fact that predators have been killed, you know? Yeah. And that's exactly what the Bible calls these people. That's what they are. So so I preached that sermon. And it wasn't really directed. Obviously, they took little clips here and there, and they tried to make it sound or whatever. And obviously, I stand by everything I said. But it was mainly just about the fact that, hey, as Bible-believing Christians, we don't need to be sad about this. We don't need to be apologizing for this. We don't need to be trying to act like this was some tragedy, because it really wasn't. These people are wicked. They deserve the death penalty. They're predators. And I preached the sermon. I remember preaching the sermon, and a few weeks or maybe months before that, I remember Pastor Anderson had told me, because he had just, I think he'd been getting strikes and stuff on his YouTube channel. And he had told me, hey, you want to be careful about, you know, what you put out, and not to put it out, but just, you know, just know that you might get a strike, or, you know, you might want to set up a second channel in case your channel gets shut down or whatever. And I remember he told me that. So after the Sunday night sermon, I met with Brother Stuckey, who was our staff guy in Sacramento back then. Now he's an evangelist in the Philippines. And I met with our sound guy, and we just had this conversation about, hey, is there anything we need to be worried about? Do you think we could get a strike for this or something? You know, things have changed since then. And the conclusion we came to was, well, you didn't really say anything different than what you've already said in other sermons, so we don't really think it's a big deal. And so we just posted it, and, you know, I went to bed that night, and then overnight it just went like super mega viral all over the country, all over the world. And, you know, the rest is history.
Right. Now, I'm sure they played all your clips where you said, you know, we don't call to violence, we don't call to action, you know, all the Bible parts, right? Those are the snippets that they took in the sermon, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, if you listen to the sermon in its context, obviously I'm saying, hey, we're not saying that we should go out and do this. You know, this is something that the government should be doing. This is what the Bible teaches. No, they definitely took, did not. Like I said, I stand by everything I said.
Right.
In context or out of context. But if you listen to the clips they took, if you listen to them in context, you know that I'm not calling for anyone to take up arms or anything like that.
Sure. Well, of course, you know, they always try to reframe things a little bit, too, and put their spin on it. Now, I actually have a clip that I wanted to show that kind of talks about this event. And I wanted you to be able to explain a little bit of what happened before we played this clip, just so if someone's not aware of this situation that happened in 2016, they have a little bit of context here. But let's see if we can pull up. There's a CBS clip, and it kind of shows a little bit of your preaching from that particular sermon. And it also has a lot of their commentary. So we're going to go ahead and switch to this video real quick, play a few minutes, and then we'll get some feedback.
A Baptist preacher who praised the attack in Orlando is sparking outrage in Sacramento. Pastor Roger Jimenez's remarks came on Sunday morning, just hours after the attack. Here is how our CBS station in Sacramento, KOVR, reported the story.
A Sacramento Baptist preacher issued extreme and troubling comments in a videotaped sermon, actually praising the Orlando Club attacks.
Hey, are you sad that 50 pedophiles were killed today? No, I think that's great. I think that helps society. You know, I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight.
His inflammatory video was uploaded to YouTube under the Verity Baptist Church account.
CBS 13's Angela Mushalem is live in Davis tonight, where she spoke with an LGBT group about the controversial speech. Angela.
Sam, Adrian, we want to warn those of you watching tonight again about the nature of these comments made by Pastor Roger Jimenez. And a local LGBT coalition here in Davis says these comments work against everything they've been trying to get in terms of equality.
We don't need to do anything. As far as I'm concerned, Orlando's just a little safer tonight.
YouTube video of Sacramento Pastor Roger Jimenez speaking about the tragedy that struck Orlando, Florida Sunday morning.
As Christians, should we not be mourning the death of these 50 vile, perverted predators?
Wow.
Sondre Nelson, not sure how to react to what Jimenez said. Nelson is pride director of the Davis Phoenix Coalition, who also grew up Baptist. He says in all his years of attending church, no pastor ever spoke of inequality.
He's not a man of God. He's not a man teaching a true religion.
I wish the government would round them all up, put them up against a firing wall, put a firing squad in front of them, and blow their brains out.
And it's hateful, violent statements like these that Nelson says keeps many in the LGBT community shut out.
Can definitely cause more harm to our LGBT youth and those still living in the closet that are older. It causes our suicide rates to go up. It causes kids to feel like they're worthless.
Hello?
Hey, Roger.
Yes.
We tried to speak with Jimenez Monday morning about the inflammatory comments he made in his speech. This was his response.
I'm not able to talk right now. I'm actually in the middle of a few things.
With the LGBT community recently celebrating marriage equality, Nelson says they've become complacent, but the fight for equality still isn't over.
The bottom line is to love thy brother as you love thyself.
And again, this is a local Sacramento preacher making these hateful statements. He had nothing further to add in front of our cameras today.
Okay, Angela, that is an eye-popping piece of videotape. Thank you very much for that.
So we played a CBS clip. I don't know. Have you seen that package, Pastor Jimenez, before?
I've seen parts of that. I hadn't seen that whole thing.
Okay. What I find kind of great is like you literally just say like 50 pedophiles are dead. And I would kind of have to assume like who would disagree with that state? Like who would disagree with the fact that the world's safer when pedophiles are literally put to death? It almost seems like that was always something that everybody kind of viewed and believed. And it seems like there's this disconnect in our world where they just don't associate that crowd with pedophiles. But, you know, it's funny because at the bottom it said the mayor condemned your remarks. But I'm like, is he condemning the fact that you want pedophiles to be put to death? or is he, you know, what exactly is it that he's condemning here? And you know, they're obviously hypocrites because I've seen news packages, one in Arizona specifically, and it was not that long ago, where a cop killer was on the run and he basically ran into two young men at a gas station. They didn't know that he was a fugitive, though. He just basically ran in. They were trying to like get him to give his wallet or keys. And in the scuffle, the citizen just pulls out his gun and shoots and kills the cop killer because of their kind of disagreement. And then basically they just say the entire police department is relieved and happy. And like everyone's happy that this cop killer was brought to justice and was killed. And even though it's obviously not even the proper channels, it didn't go through a legal sanction. There was no judge and jury. They were all happy, relieved, and excited that the cop killer was brought to justice and ultimately faced the consequences of his decisions. But of course, they can't then apply that to the same logic of saying, okay, people that are literally molesting children and committing the worst sins imaginable, if they get what's coming to them, why would I then be sad? I mean, what if Christians all said, oh, we should pray for this cop killer and be sad about the cop killer and go to his funeral? Whatever. No one's going to do that. It's just, of course, they're hypocrites about it. They don't apply these things equally. And then they really don't understand that they're actually just attacking the Bible. But I know that from this experience, you have suffered a lot of just hate. You know, they want to condemn you for being a hate preacher, but of course they can hate you all day long. There's no inconsistency there, right? So please describe for us just kind of like things that happened to you as a result of this in like the censorship.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, you know, just kind of going off of what you said, if you listen to the sermon, because that clip about the 50 pedophiles, that's the clip that was like played over and over and over in all these newscasts and all over the world. And what I was saying was, you know, as I was preaching, I was asking the question. I was saying, you know, are you asking me if I'm sad? And I said, well, that would be like asking me, are you sad that 50 pedophiles have been killed? You know, no, I'm not sad. You know, Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. That's the statement. And so I think it's funny that they take that clip played all over the world where I'm saying 50 pedophiles, 50 pedophiles, 50 pedophiles. And they're all saying like, he's talking about us, you know, these sodomites. So it kind of like shows you that they themselves identify themselves as that. And so that's an interesting thought. Also in that video that you showed, it's funny because I hadn't seen that exact clip, but that's actually when I found out the sermon went viral, because on that Monday morning, my wife had taken our son to the hospital. She had a doctor's appointment with our son. And so I had kind of taken the morning off, and I was literally just, I think it was 8 a.m. when they showed up at my house or something like that. And I was actually like making breakfast for the kids because I had the rest of the kids, and I was just kind of being with them while my wife was gone with our son. And the doorbell rang, and I opened the door, and there's this reporter and this camera and a microphone, and my kids, you know, they were just little kids, and they're interested, you know, who's at the door. So all my kids come running and they're like looking out the door. And I'm trying to push them away because I just see this camera. I don't know what's going on. I know I don't want my kids on TV. So I'm pushing my kids away and I'm like, I can't talk, you know. And that's actually literally when I found out that the sermon went viral, because then I closed the door and I texted my wife and I'm like, the news is at our door, you know. And then church members started texting me saying like, you're all over the news, Pastor. So obviously I did lots of interviews after that. But that was literally when I found out that the sermon had even gone viral or anything like that. So it's kind of interesting. But yeah, as a result of that sermon, first of all, the sermon went viral, and then they took the channel down, and then eventually they took our YouTube channel down. They've taken our YouTube channel down many times. I don't know how many YouTube channels we've lost over the years. A few years ago, after the Red Hot Preaching Conference, we had a YouTube channel with 10,000 subscribers, and they took that down. So they've taken a lot of our YouTube channels down. They've came after us. As far as censorship, they've came after us with our merchant accounts. Back in 2016, we had PayPal to be able to receive donations. Of course, they canceled us. And then there was this like I don't know how long, it was several months where it seemed like every other week we were kept getting shut down. And I remember Brother Stuckey was our staff guy back then, and his like full-time job became to find a new company to take donations. So we went from PayPal to Stripe to whatever, and, you know, and every week we just kept getting shut down and shut down and shut down. So that was obviously annoying. And then of course our this is something you're familiar with, but our landlord turned against us. And I know you guys obviously recently dealt with that. And so we did not get evicted. But I think the reason for that is just because the news kept saying that we got thrown out and we got evicted. But what actually happened was that our lease was going to be up in a few months anyway. And they just said that they were not going to renew our lease. Right. And we had, you know, we had a good sized church. We had money in the bank. I mean, there really was no reason why we couldn't get a building. But after we went on the news, then we kind of just got blacklisted. And that was probably the hardest thing. Was there was like a 3 to 4 month period there where literally it was like 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, every day. We only took breaks for church, where we were just looking at buildings. I literally, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, I think I looked at every single available building in the entire city of Sacramento back then. And we just kept getting rejected and rejected. And I mean, we'd come in and we're like, hey, we've got money. We can pay 6 months up front. Everybody was like, great. And then they, you know, get our name and they're like, oh no, not you. So we just kept getting rejected. In fact, the building we're in right now was the building that we ended up getting back then, and they rejected us. But I remember I liked the building we're in now because it was close to where we were before. And there were certain reasons why we liked it. And I remember going back to them and I said, look, you know, everybody's rejecting us, but you've had this building. It's already a church building. It's been vacant for like 8 years. Like, you know, we've got money. Can you just give us a chance? And I remember we struck a deal with them where they pretty much just gave us the highest rate possible on square footage that we could take. And then they added like $1,000 risk fee for a month for taking us on. So they pretty much just like, you know, they knew they had us, you know, we didn't have any other options. So we did it. Tax. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we took it because we needed a building.
Right.
And obviously that was years ago. We've since, you know, been able to renegotiate that and all that. But I mean, the censorship is definitely it's not just social media. See, oftentimes when we think about censorship and the cancel culture, we think of social media, and that's definitely part of it. Obviously it's frustrating to build a YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel right now with 15,000 subscribers, and I'm aware that at any time they could take that away from us. So obviously that's frustrating, but when you're having your finances messed with, which I know that's something you guys have dealt with, and when you're having your ability to meet in a building messed with, that those are the things that really get frustrating. Of course, lawsuits, you've dealt with that. I've been sued for what I preach. So these are all forms of censorship. They are trying to shut us up, but in order to shut us up, they're literally trying to shut us down. So they want to shut us down so that they can shut us up. And it's been a road. You know, I know you guys have dealt with, obviously, I'm preaching to the choir.
Well, you know, I love to hear your experiences, and I know that that's not even necessarily everything, because you have the media like coming breathing down your neck. I mean, they're knocking on your front door.
Right.
How many people did you have, like, you know, like news stations knocking your door around that?
Oh, time? Man. I mean, it was nonstop. After that first initial 8 a.m., then it was just like 24 hours a day for weeks. They were just at our door, because it's kind of lasted. It started, so I preached a sermon, and then the next Sunday was Father's Day. Well, that next Sunday they planned this protest against our church, and they brought in these busloads of sodomites and whatever from Berkeley and San Francisco and the Bay Area. So we had this big protest. And I mean, the news media reported that there was 1,500 people there. I don't know how accurate that number is, but there was a lot of people there. I know that there were 200 sheriff and police officers there for crowd control. So I know for a fact there was 200 police officers there because the city of Sacramento tried to send us a bill for that. They tried to bill us for that, which obviously we sent that back and said you can send that bill to the protesters. They're the reason you came. We have church there every week. But you know, so there was 200 police officers. So I would imagine that, I don't know, 1,500 is probably accurate. I know there was lots of people there. So we had this big protest. And then a few weeks later, we had the first Red Hot Preaching Conference. So all of this was kind of, the media was on it, you know, so it was like something they were talking about every day. And some people thought that I preached the sermon as a publicity stunt to like hype up the Red Hot Preaching Conference, which obviously I, you know, the Lord worked that out. It helped the Red Hot Preaching Conference, but you know, it's not like I asked this guy to go shoot up a gay nightclub so that I could do a publicity stunt.
Wow.
The funny thing about that whole event is that I ended up becoming like public enemy number one in the country. I was the most hated man in the country, and even more hated than the shooter himself.
Yeah. Interesting. Right. Like I said, even in Vancouver, Washington, I was knocking on doors and people were having visceral reactions to the name Roger Jimenez. And think about like what's so crazy about that clip that we just watched is that one man that was talking to the reporter, he said that he's been in church his whole life and he's never heard something like this before. And that's the reason why they are seeming to be able to censor us as much as they are. It's because seemingly no one else is preaching this stuff. Like our generation has just decided that they're not going to preach what the Bible says on the sodomite issue. So it's real easy to pick out preachers like you or Pastor Shelley and look at that preaching and call it extreme and troubling, rather than looking at pedophilia as extreme and troubling, or rather than looking at people that the Bible says are filled with murder, that are being filled with all unrighteousness. We would look at that and say, hey, that needs to be canceled, you know, through a lawful sanctioned death penalty by the government. That's what needs to be sanctioned to be canceled. But yet, because preachers are not preaching it, they think that we're extreme and troubling, and that's why they're able to censor us.
And preachers don't want to preach it because of all the crap we've dealt with, you know? I mean, it's true. Like, my life would have been a lot easier. Pastor Shelley's life would be a lot easier right now if we shut up about these things. But if we don't preach the truth, then why are we even in the ministry? Right. And these guys are in the ministry for reasons other than preaching the truth. But
yeah,
that's why
our church, where we're meeting, you know, in temporary meeting spaces, wherever we can find, meeting in a park, listening to Pastor Shelley actually rip and preach the word of God. I'd rather listen to that than be in some super nice, you know, Bible college church where they wouldn't touch Romans 1 with a 10-foot pole. They wouldn't touch Psalm 139 with a 10-foot pole. We sing Psalm 139 before the service, you know, like that's the type of church that I'd want to be in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, they, after our big protest, we were protested for months after that, and for like 3 or 4 months, every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, obviously after the big one, the 1500, it was never like that again, but there were, every protest, there was anywhere between 20 to 50 people protesting our church. Our soul winners were getting yelled at and harassed out in the community. I got yelled at and harassed. I mean, I've got so many stories. I could, you know, we could do a whole podcast
on
just me telling
stories. Isn't there a good restaurant story?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stories. But yeah, so, I mean, it was a exciting time and a crazy time,
Well, and you're still feeling it, correct? I mean, obviously,
absolutely,
it's not the same level of heat, but there's still going to be downward spiraling consequences and just reverb effects of this and just collateral damage. And I can see, like you said, why the preachers don't preach on that, just because it is real that there's going to be pushback. It is real that there's going to be a fight. And but at the same time, how is not bringing up these issues going to fix our country? You know, how is not talking about what the Bible has to say? And of course, you're trying to just balance everyone in this country from seeing all this bad example, all these supposed Christians falling all over themselves to love the ungodly, as it were. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to just kind of jerk back the steering wheel and say, wait a minute, you know, we should have God's perspective, not what the media wants to tell us and spoon feed for us. And, you know, I appreciated the sermon. I didn't get to listen to it because it was just immediately censored, but I got to hear all the good parts. So, right. You know, via the media. And, you know, I thought it was great. Now, here's another consequence of that sermon, in my opinion. And this is what I call the YouTube, the Pastor Jimenez YouTube policy.
Yes.
But I want to pull up on the screen. We have a Google policy. And I remember finding this. I got censored for something, or something happened to one of our sermons, and I went and looked this up, and it blew me away. It was like a few years ago. It blew me away when I read this, because I was thinking, like, this is all about Pastor Jimenez. And so I figured, why not bring on Pastor Jimenez to get his thoughts? But can we pull up that on screen, their Google policy on what's called hate speech? Now, this phrase is becoming very popular in our culture all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies are adopting this in their terms and services. In fact, I was, like you said, you know, you're kind of shopping online giving solutions. I was going through the list, and I ran into this one. It's a Christian company. And the guy told me, he's like, hey, we can also put you on our app so you don't have to get shut down on YouTube. People can watch your sermon on our app. And I said, okay, well, what's your, like, you know, restrictions or policies? Like, well, just read our terms and policies. You know, as long as you abide by those, you're good. And I started scrolling through. It literally said that you'd be banned for any level of hate speech. And I'm just thinking, like, why would a Christian site want to ban hate speech? Like, what does that even mean? I asked the guy, I said, we're probably going to get banned because of hate speech. And he's like, oh, but we're not supposed to hate anyone.
Wow.
And I said, well, what about Psalm 139, where the Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And he goes, oh, that's above my pay grade. I was just like, you know, it's weird how even the Christians, so-called, are trying to say, oh, you can't have hate speech and everything like that. Now, in this YouTube Google policy, I want to scroll down. They have a section in there called errors. Examples. I'm sorry. Yeah. So if you scroll down now in this policy, scroll back up because we can't see for the, I want to go down there in just a second. Scroll kind of back to the top. It's going to describe for us here, hate speech policy. So the hate speech policy, also known as the Pastor Jimenez policy. If you scroll down just a little bit, we'll read what it says. It says, oh, scroll back up just here for me again. I want to make sure that the viewers can see this. The safety of our creators, viewers, and partners is our highest priority. We look to each of you to help us protect this unique and vibrant community. It is important you understand our community guidelines and the role they play in our shared responsibility to keep YouTube safe. Take the time to carefully read the policy below. You can also check out this page for a full list of our guidelines. And they've more recently updated it since when this first came out. But then it says, you're not allowed to have hate speech against, and then it gives kind of a blanket list. But of course they put down there, you know, gender and basically being a sodomite and all kinds of stuff like that. But then they want to give you some examples. And I think this is kind of comical. It says on the first example, here's an example of what you're not allowed to say on YouTube. I'm glad this, and then in brackets, violent event happened. They got what they deserved, in brackets, referring to the persons with the attributes noted above. And I'm just like, that's exactly what Pastor Jimenez said. And then the second one, it says, quote, or in brackets, persons with attributes noted above are dogs, or persons with attributes noted above are like animals. And I'm thinking, like, these people are literally writing policy based on Pastor Jimenez's sermon, just like verbatim. It blew me away. And I'm thinking, like, Pastor Jimenez went so viral that Google itself, the like most powerful company in the world, arguably, maybe Amazon now, I don't know, but it's up there, is making policies based on a pastor of a couple hundred people in Sacramento, California. You know, it's like, obviously people say, oh, that's a small church, but I don't see them making YouTube policies on Joel Osteen's church or T.D. Jakes' church. You know, I mean, so from a perspective of impact, it seems like it's the biggest church. It's making one of the biggest impacts for the cause of Christ. And a lot of people are even getting saved. You know, people don't realize that. They'll say like, well, why don't you preach the gospel? Yet I guarantee lots of people have gotten saved by hearing those comments, looking at Verity Baptist Church, hearing about Verity Baptist Church, you know, having a normal brain in their head and essentially a soul winner coming by and like, you know what, I want to hear what that church has to say. And then they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and they end up getting saved. Whereas they weren't that interested without this kind of event, without this kind of media attention, as it were. And some people would argue there's no such thing as bad press. And I almost feel convinced that that's probably true. You know, do you feel like there is, quote unquote, bad press, as it
were? No, I agree. I mean, here's the thing. First of all, the fact that YouTube and Google are making policies based off of my preaching and the preaching of other pastors like me is a testament to the power of the Word of God. And that's why it's a win when our sermons are, even out of context, are put all over the world, because it's the Word of God. It's what the Bible says. And then absolutely, you know, people hear it. You know, there's people all over this country that are in my church and your church and other churches, New IFB churches, that will tell you that they got saved because of documentaries and sermons and things going viral and whatever. And, you know, there might be a few out there, but I usually the story is not, I Googled what must I do to be saved and a Bible's Way to Heaven video came up.
Right.
Usually it's, I watched this documentary, I saw this sermon came up, I saw this news thing, and then that led me to something else and led me to something else that eventually got them saved. So God uses that, you know, and it's been effective. So I don't believe there's any such thing as bad publicity. Obviously, if you want to be loved, if your goal, it depends what your goal is. If your goal is to be loved by the world, like Joel Osteen or Billy Graham, then yeah, there is a such thing as bad publicity. And there are some things you're just never going to say, you're never going to preach. But if your goal is to get the Word of God out, if your goal is to get the preaching of God's word into the ears of as many people as possible, then there's no bad publicity. In fact, bad publicity is better than any publicity, in my opinion, because it gets you out further, faster, and I don't know if this is a word, but freer.
Yeah.
it's free. I mean, a couple of years ago, back in, I want to say it was 2019, we had an LA Times reporter came to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, was here the entire conference, and then did this whole article. And I think we were like the front page of the LA Times or something like that. It was a big article in the LA Times all about our church and our conference. And if I would have went to the LA Times and said, hey, I'd like to, you know, have this huge publicity thing in your newspaper, it would have cost me like $30,000 or something. But they gave it to us for free. Right. So, right. I don't think there's any such thing as bad publicity when your goal is to preach the Word of God and get the Word of God out. If your goal is to become rich or be loved by the world, then that's a different story.
Yeah, of course they're going to want to censor the truth. They're not going to be censoring lies. And so, we have been neglecting some callers, so I want to get some callers in a minute. Dylan, you know, obviously, you're just a young guy. You hear Pastor Jimenez's comments. Did you talk to other people about that? Like you said, you kind of heard that in the car, but did you bring that up with people? What was kind of the reaction from other people, you know, about this type of event? Or what is kind of the word on the street? Did you get anything?
A few things. At the time that this was happening, I was still going to an old IFB church. So the only time this was brought up around me was in a very negative light, you know, because this church was afraid to preach on this issue, was afraid to talk about the sodomites. And that's really, like we said earlier, since most people aren't preaching this, that's why the censorship is able, you know, to come after us so single-handedly. But then, you know, when I move, obviously, to Vancouver, Washington, and go to Verity Baptist Church Vancouver, around some people that actually believe the Bible, you know, of course, then they're supporting their pastor and supporting what he said. Why? Because, you know, of the man? No, it's because he's preaching the Word of God. And, you know, the reason why there's literal people conspiring and specifically coming against Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Shelley, you know, churches like ours, you know, in Psalms chapter 2, the Bible says the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And so wherever the Jesus of the Bible is being preached, wherever the Word of God is being preached, that's where the spiritual darkness, the powers of this earth are going to be conspiring to come against those people. The devil doesn't care about Joel Osteen. The devil doesn't want to try to stop Joel Osteen. In fact, Joel Osteen works for the devil. Joel Osteen is helping the devil accomplish his goal in sending people to hell. But churches that actually preach the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the anointed, that is the church that the devil is going to set his targets against and try to come at them with censorship at first. That's the devil's goal at first, is to shut them up. But eventually, as we see in the book of Acts and as we read about in the New Testament, they want to take it past just shutting our mouths, don't they, Pastor Shelley?
Absolutely. Now, we're not about that, but we do have a way to call in, too, because we're trying to do the opposite of censorship. We want to bring the most censored pastors on our show, and we don't know how long we'll be on YouTube, but obviously we want to keep going. But if you want to call in, 231-BABTIST, 231-BABTIST, we've got a couple callers on the line. I think we have a John on the line from Verity, so let's see if we can get him on the line. Hey, John, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the Baptist Bias. Say hello.
Oh, hi. Actually, my name is Jeffrey. But,
Jeffrey, I'm sorry.
No. Jeffrey, how's it going, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, how's it going?
Hey, Pastor. I'm hanging in there. Pastor Mez, good to hear from you again. It was good to see you on Sunday after all this time.
And, yes, Jeffrey. Well, how are you doing?
Hanging in there. Hanging in there pretty good. I'll be working again tonight, of course. Well, Pastor Shelley, I hope you guys are doing okay, given everything that's been going on and the different type of censorship, you know, especially with the way a landlord can just it's almost like flipping a switch after what goes on. They just do it on a dime. It feels that way.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can be anticipated, but you never really know what's going to happen. So I was going to see, do you have a question for Pastor Menez or for the show about censorship? Do you have something? Or do you want to share your experience there on censorship?
Well, I think it's good that we're trying to build our own infrastructure to counteract the censorship, especially with the banned but not bound email list that we're able to keep distributing, you know, sermons or other materials. So that way we don't, you know, like interrupt the pipeline of, you know, being able to continue to operate as it is.
Yeah, so that's great. I think we should get Pastor Menez to talk about that. But have you been on that list? Have you seen that working? Is that something you enjoy?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it links whether to the traditional sites or to the alternative tech sites. But the material's all there. So it's all there for us to use and learn from.
Is that something you share with other people?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Now, to give some of our listeners a little idea, this banned but not bound list is kind of an email list. Is that correct, Pastor Menez?
Yes, it is. And I can talk a little bit about it. Jeffrey, thank you for calling. And thanks for bringing that up. We're praying for hope she gets better soon. In regards to the banned but not bound email list, this was something that we actually started as an answer to the censorship, because like I said, we work at building YouTube channels and all of that. Obviously that helps us get our message out, but we've had channels with 5,000 subscribers get shut down, and 10,000 subscribers get shut down, and many other channels that have different sizes get shut down. And of course, YouTube just at any moment can just hit a button and take your whole channel away. So what we decided was that instead of trying to build a channel that could be taken away from us, from that is owned by people who hate us and hate God and hate the Word of God and are using me as an example of what they don't want on their website, we thought that it'd be good to build an email list. And so we got this idea to do a an email list called Banned But Not Bound. And what it is that we are asking people, if they like this type of preaching, they can go to bannedbutnotbound.com. I'll give you a plug-in if that's okay.
Yeah.
Bannedbutnotbound.com, and they can sign up. And right now we have 2,203 emails on that list, and it's growing every week. Obviously, it's harder to grow an email list than like a YouTube channel, but in my opinion, I think the emails are very valuable on that email list, because these are people that are going to a website, signing up, and they're people that want the truth. And what we tell people is, when you sign up for the Banned But Not Bound email list, you will get an email from us every month, and it'll have a link to a sermon that has been censored from YouTube. And we're not promoting any one channel or anything. Sometimes we have them on like different sites, that alternative type social media sites, and sometimes they're not even our videos, they're other people's videos, Steadfast videos, whatever. But they get those emails, they get links to sermons that are not allowed on YouTube. And we also send a bunch of other stuff, just normal sermons, videos. When we do shorts, we send them out. When we send out a link for this live stream tonight, you know. So it's a way to gather information and emails of people who want this type of content. And what I like about it is that it can't be taken away from us. A YouTube channel can be taken away, but they can't take away this email list. So that's one thing we did to try to respond to the cancel culture and the censorship. And obviously, we're still going to use YouTube, and we're going to use anything we can until they literally, you know, kick us off the internet. Right. But this was a way for us. So we've got.
Right.
Let us know. Send us, give us the link. We'll mail it out, email it out, and let people know. If you have a sermon, you know, and I'm talking to you, Pastor Shelley, but any pastor that's hearing this, if you have a sermon that's been censored from YouTube, you know, put it on a different site, like Rumbler or something, and then send us the link, and we'll get it out. We'll put it into that schedule where people get something every month, and it's our answer to the censorship. It's one of our answers. It's not the only answer, but it's one of the things we're doing, is bannedbutnotbound.com. So if you haven't signed up for it, please do so.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And it causes us to be more creative and work even harder. Mm-hmm. Whereas a lot of these other people, they don't have to work hard or come up with creative solutions, because they're just basically following the devil's agenda, and the devil's not giving them any kind of resistance.
Absolutely.
I guess on a request, there's a documentary I heard that's pretty good, Sodomite Deception. Maybe you could put that in there in June, in the month of June.
We will do that. That'd be nice. I'd be surprised if it's not on our list already, but we'll make sure to have it be the June email.
There's definitely some fiery clips from a guy named Pastor Menes in that one. So, we really like that, but you know, it's interesting how far this is going to go. And, you know, I think that sometimes we want to even be ahead of the curve potentially. And I think that this Banned But Not Bound is a great way to kind of be a little bit ahead of the curve, looking forward and realizing, hey, I might, I might have 15,000 subs right now, but that could be taken away tomorrow, like you said. And they could even just figure out new and creative ways to just keep getting us off. I wanted to play another clip. I think we still have some call-ins. If you want to call in 231-BAPTIST, we'll get a quick question from you. Thanks, Jeffrey, for calling in and for his comments. And we'll be praying for his mother as well. But there's a video I want to play. It's called A Big Win for Google. And I'm sorry, no, there was a hate speech Google rep. That's the clip that I want to play. It's basically this lady talking to Congress and or some kind of lawmakers, and she's from a Google, and she's kind of explaining what they're doing to literally censor people like Pastor Jimenez, people that want to share the truth. And then they wrap it in this language of, quote, hate speech. But let's play this clip, and I want to get some of your thoughts on what they say here.
Around 2 billion people come to YouTube every month, and we see over 500 hours of video uploaded every minute, making it one of the largest living collections of human culture ever assembled in one place. We know, however, that the very platforms that have enabled these societal benefits may also be abused, ranging from the annoying, like spam, to the criminal, like child pornography. Over the past 2 years, we've invested heavily in machines and people to quickly identify and remove content that violates our policies against incitement to violent and hate speech. First, YouTube's enforcement system starts from the point at which a user uploads a video. If it's somewhat similar to videos that already violate our policies, it's sent to humans for review. If they determine that it violates our policies, they remove it, and the system makes a digital fingerprint so that it can be so that it cannot be uploaded again. In the fourth quarter of 2018, over 70% of the more than 8 million videos reviewed and removed were first flagged by a machine, the majority of which were removed before a single view was received. Second, we rely on experts to find videos the algorithm might be missing. Some of these experts sit at our in-house Intel desk, which proactively looks for new trends and content that may violate our policies. We also allow expert NGOs and governments to notify us of bad content in bulk through our Trusted Flagger program. We reserve the final decision on whether to remove a video that gets flagged by any of these entities, but we benefit immensely from their expertise. Finally, we go beyond enforcing our policies by creating programs to promote counter speech. Examples of this work include our Creators for Change program, which supports YouTube creators who are tackling issues like extremism and hate by building empathy and acting as positive role models. In addition, Google's Jigsaw Group has developed the redirect method, which uses targeted ads and YouTube videos to disrupt online radicalization. It's important to note that hate speech removals can be particularly complex compared to other types of content. Hate speech, because it often relies on spoken rather than visual cues, is sometimes harder to detect than some forms of branded terrorist propaganda. It's intensely context-specific, and it can be contentious, as there is often disagreement on what could be considered political speech. On the opposite end, over-aggressive enforcement can also inadvertently silence voices that are using the platform to make themselves heard on these important issues. Often in this space, we've found that content can sit in a gray area that comes right up against the line. It may be offensive, but it does not violate YouTube's policies against incitement to violence and hate speech. When this occurs, we've built a policy to drastically reduce a video's visibility by making it ineligible for ads, removing its comments, and excluding it from our recommendation system. In particular, we understand the issues around YouTube's recommendation system may be top of mind. This is why several months ago, we also updated our recommendation systems to begin reducing recommendations of even more borderline content or content that can misinform users in harmful ways. In conclusion, I'd like to end where I began. Google builds its products for all users from all political stripes around the globe. The long-term success of our business is directly related to our ability to earn and maintain the trust of our users. We have a natural and long-term incentive to make sure that our products work for users of all viewpoints. People will value these services only as long as they continue to trust them to work well and provide them with the most relevant and useful information. That's why hate speech and violent extremism have no place on YouTube.
Now, this clip is really interesting for a lot of reasons to me. Number one, she's making it clear, and you know, nobody cares in that Congress meeting because all those people are probably like on drugs or something. They don't really care. But if you pay attention to what she's saying, she's just literally giving the game plan for YouTube. They say that they're like working tirelessly to essentially shut down anything that they claim is hate speech, which again, how do we even determine what hate speech is? I guess it's whatever Pastor Jimenez preaches, because that's how Google writes their hate speech policy. But she also said something which I think is really interesting, because they use all these fancy acronyms and they try to sound really intelligent. But she said, sometimes we rely on NGOs to help us identify the videos in this speech. Well, NGO stands for non-governmental organization, which just means anyone, basically. I mean, we use the government and non-government organizations. So you're just saying you use anyone, potentially, is what you just said. And of course, they're going to use people like the SPLC. They're going to use the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League. They're going to use essentially just whatever private interest group that pays them a bunch of money. They're just going to do their bidding and then claim it's hate speech and get to silence whoever it is that they want. But I'd really like to see if they could give you the data. It'd be interesting to see how many videos they've censored of hate speech against Christians, because of course there's plenty of people that hate on the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, people who believe the Bible, Pastor Jimenez. I mean, I wonder how many videos have been taken down for people saying hateful things about Pastor Jimenez. You know, that would be an interesting list. I think it'd probably be zero.
Right.
And of course, it's fine to hate Pastor Jimenez. Like you said you were literally the most hated person in America. It's hard to contest that. I mean, I feel like even the Muslims hated you because they were hoping they were going to get all this glory and you took it away from them. they're like, they don't even care about the guy that literally committed a massacre. They care about a Baptist preacher saying that he's not sad that it happened, you know, essentially. And it's just kind of crazy how they get to just shift the narrative and demonize whoever they want and then claim at the same time that they don't hate anybody. It's just a giant hypocrisy that really just kind of goes unnoticed by them, because I think they're all just, I think the news at this point is just kind of paid actors, if you ask me. But I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, kind of the things that she said. It sounds like they're pretty active towards trying to censor us, coming up with creative ways. I mean, does it not feel that way, that, you know, there's really a full-scale attack and just basically this system that's going into place to try and really censor just Christianity in general?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that she brought up, which is the fact that not are they shutting down our channels. That's one thing, but also they are suppressing our channels. So we've noticed that there's content we put out, and it just kind of seems like, for the amount of subscribers we have and kind of the things that we're used to seeing, there should be a lot more views here. There should be, but one thing they can also do is they can just hide you and suppress you, so that they don't really take you off, but nobody really sees you unless they're looking for you. So that's definitely something that they're doing as well. And like I said, that's why we have to, you know, we could sit here and just have this defeated attitude that says the whole world is hostile towards us and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. And the whole world definitely, it feels like the world is definitely hostile towards Bible believing Christians. And even with the point that you made about Muslims, you know, you're right that you would think that there would be this hate against Islam instead of hate against me, but it just shows you that the media wants to hate Christianity. They don't necessarily care about other religions. They want to hate Bible believing Christians. And so that's their agenda. But we have to just not have a defeated attitude. And, you know, we have to have an attitude like Paul said when, you know, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And the truth is that you and I are not going to get to be treated like all these liberal old IFB bastards that are not preaching controversial things, but we're going to just labor more abundantly than they all. We're going to work hard and work harder to get the message out. And I'm not, you know, banned but not bound is just what we did. I like to do things that I understand. And to me, I understood an email list that made sense to me. gathering emails, sending out links. You know, the problem with some of these alternative social media sites is that they just don't get the traffic that YouTube does.
Right.
So you can post videos there, but they don't get as many views. But my thought was, well, if we could gather, you know, and as far as I'm concerned, we're just getting started. I mean, my goal for Banned But Not Bound would be to have 5,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 subscribers, 100,000 emails one day. And my thought is this, if we have to start a brand new YouTube channel every week, because they're just shutting us down, but we post a sermon on a YouTube channel with zero subscribers and we email it to 50,000 people, then I don't really care what the views are if they shut us down every week. We're still getting the message out. So we just have to work at it. And there's other things you can do. You know, people talk to me about blockchain and other things. I think anything we can do, I'm all for it. Some of these things, I'm not a techie guy. So some of these things I don't really understand. I get an email list, but I'm all for it. I'm all for figuring out how to get the word of God out there. And, you know, we did Banned But Not Bound, but that's not the only thing. You know, I obviously, the other thing we have to remember is that social media is not the only way to get the word of God out there. Now, obviously, it's a big way. And it technology, we live in a society, we live in a world where technology is available to us, so we should use it, in my opinion. But, you know, obviously, we do door-to-door soul winning because the Bible says to do that, but that's a way that you can get the word of God out. Something else that we started at our church, which is just an alternative way to reach people, is we started a prison ministry, not a traditional prison ministry like what you normally hear of a church going into prisons. We want to do that, and we're trying to do that too, but we've had issues with that. But what we started was a mailing list for prisoners and people that are in prison. It started with one guy that we was in prison that was part of our church family, and we wanted him to get sermons while he was there. So we started transcribing sermons and mailing them because they don't have access to the internet or YouTube or whatever. And then he got somebody saved. So we started doing it for a second guy, and they got another person saved. So we started doing it for a second guy, and it just kind of grew from there. And today we have 303 people on our prison ministry mailing list. And every month they get two transcribed sermons from our church, 303 inmates throughout the country. That's an untapped ministry to get the word of God out there. And let me say this, if you're watching and you have a loved one or a family member or friend that's incarcerated, please email us their address and we will get them on that list. info@veritybaptist.com. And, you know, we transcribe sermons and then our staff guys, once a month, they get together, and we've got some young guys that volunteer from our church, and they print them all out and fold them and put them in envelopes. And we have the mailing list and the return address labels and the stamps. They get it all together and mail them out. And, you know, that's another thing we're doing. So it's not all about social media. But obviously, social media is a big thing, and we want to continue to use that.
No, I think that's great. And, you know, this hate speech thing is just really weird. You know, is that something you grew up with, Billen? Have you ever heard of hate? I mean, when did you hear about hate speech?
I mean, growing up, even just in the 2000s, I feel like a lot of the things that you guys preach against were still seen as a negative growing up. So it seems like it just happened overnight almost, where, you know, I'm 24 years old, yet when I was a kid, even I feel like I'm in a different country now than back then. So to me, it just seems like it just blew up overnight in the 2010, 2011-ish time. But no, growing up, I had never heard of that.
Well, there's a lot of challenges. You could kind of tell, you know, what she's saying, especially having a little bit of a tech background, having been a software developer for several years. You know, they can't just necessarily turn off certain words, because sometimes the people that are against us, they use our words against us. And so if they just ban, you know, certain words, they'll just kick all kinds of people off of their YouTube platform, and they'll get mad at them. Or if they ban particular words, sometimes people might misspeak or their accent's thick and they say a certain word and it sounds like another one. And then they get their YouTube video flagged. So they have to have like this army of human people constantly watching her sermons. You know what would be cool is if when we get into heaven, there's like this YouTube moderator that was like, so I hated you guys, but I had to listen to so much of your preaching that I ended up getting saved.
It's got to be out there.
I mean, that would be so cool if we got that. Now, we have some more callers online. I want to see if we can get to them. Keith had called in, and we've kept him on the line waiting a little bit, so apologize. I hope that he's still there. He didn't give up on us. You got to be steadfast when you're one of these callers, okay? Keith, are you on the line? Can you hear us?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, thanks for calling in. Keith's from Utah, and didn't you say you had lived in California for a little bit?
Yeah, just about an hour or so from Pastor Mejia when he was in El Monte before he got blown up.
Oh, man. So do you have a question for us related to censorship or something you wanted to share about censorship?
Yeah, I just wanted to say it's been great hearing the examples so far. And just out in Utah, the town that I'm particularly in used to be ran by a cult leader. He's in prison now because he got caught and proven in court to be a pedophile. But he was an offshoot of the mainstream Mormon church, and we're just about 12 miles south of Zion National Park, to kind of just give a reference for that. He was such a wicked person. He got on the FBI's most wanted list. He made it into the top 10 when Osama bin Laden was still on the list. And the people in this community kind of have turned a blind eye to it. They bought into this perception that it was just persecution against him instead of admitting the fact that he was just a pedophile. What he had done was he had groomed children as young as 12 years old, and he had eventually amassed over 70 wives in this massive compound in the desert. And one of the reasons that that's a big deal in Utah is because he got all of his ideas from Joseph Smith, who the church vehemently denies was involved in polygamy, even though he was doing a lot of the same things that the guy out here was doing in the 2000s. So I've just found it interesting talking to Mormons that are fundamentalists and Mormons that aren't fundamentalists. It's just kind of mind blowing the cognitive dissonance that's out here when it comes to that.
Well, and I guess the Mormons, they exercise their own form of censorship. I've heard it online, and I've kind of asked some Mormons, and they kind of conferred, but they literally won't listen to anything that's negative about the Mormon church. And what I think is kind of interesting is that's almost like what America is trying to do to itself. They're trying to become like the Mormons, where they're not allowed to hear anything negative, nothing bad about America, nothing bad about its politicians, nothing bad about the Democrat Party. You know, we're not allowed to preach the Bible and preach against a certain community. And you got to ask yourself, if the Mormons can get so weird to have 70 wives and become pedophiles, I mean, what's that going to do to America if we just get one narrative? You know, you can only hear one idea and one essential program. You know, that type of censorship literally just destroys an entire area. Whereas, you know, I don't feel like from a biblical perspective, you really see the idea of the censorship. In fact, I think of Jeremiah in the Bible. He even allows other preachers who are like just literally a false prophet just get up and preach just to hear what they have to say. But then obviously if it's false, he's going to call them out, but he doesn't like stop them from even being able to just at least share whatever they were going to share. He just allows them to condemn themselves by their own words, which, you know, it seems a pretty effective tool, because whenever you compare a truth or a lie, that the lie just doesn't have a chance. And that's why these people want to censor the truth, is because they know it's going to expose them for who they truly are. Like this cult leader you said there in Utah. So thanks for sharing that story with us, Keith. And thanks for hanging on the line. Do you have another quick question, or?
I just maybe one more story with the same region. So he actually ended up banning certain words in the community, and he also banned access to internet. He banned different colors that you couldn't wear, or you'd be either dragged out of town basically by the little, they have like a mini cartel police force that they would use against people like that. But it was like unlike anything you really would see on any other place in America. But now it's kind of feeling like the internet is like that, where, you know, just because something's offensive to somebody, I think that it's going to be offensive to people that haven't heard it. in a long time, or they're hearing it for the first time, it might rub them the wrong way. It might make them uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that they don't need to hear it, because the second people hear that, what was really going on in a lot of situations, or when people realize the differences between what the LDS Church teaches and what's actually in the Bible, when you're just able to make that difference with somebody, it goes such a long way for them to say, wow, that was really, really refreshing and uncomfortable at the same time. And you can kind of see them having that thought battle back and forth in their head, just like, man, like, what have I been told my whole life? But that's really what I like about just being able to share the truth with people and making a difference that way, because when people are just so sheltered from information, it does nobody any good.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Keith. I didn't realize that colors could be hateful. that's new to me.
Yeah, he banned the color red.
Red.
Random prophecy.
How are we going to have the red hot preaching conference if we can't even have the color red?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in. Have a good night. And have you ever heard about someone banning the color red, Pastor Menes?
No, that's the first I've heard of that. That's pretty crazy.
Well, you got the red square in Moscow, and aren't Russians banned now? Yeah. Can't red talk square. About Russians, so.
Yeah. Got that. Well, you know, it's crazy. The what you've been bringing up, Pastor Shelley, is so true. It's crazy that we live in the United States of America, and a country that prides itself on freedom of speech. And that's exactly what is being censored, is free speech right now. I just saw a quote recently from the CEO of Twitter. I think he's like an Indian guy or something, but he literally just says that, like, forget about freedom of speech. We're only allowing the things that we like and that we allow. And it's just crazy. It's the world. And it's happening here in the USA. It's insanity.
What's the point of having the First Amendment if every single business just decides not to allow the First Amendment to even exist?
Right.
I mean, it's like, doesn't the First Amendment say that there should be no law passed? I mean, and obviously that's from a governmental perspective, and I get that. But I mean, how much are we going to blur the lines between the laws that the government is allowed to have and enforce with just all these companies who are essentially monopolies propped up by the government, mm-hmm. funded by the government, you know, intertwined with the politicians who are making these laws, and then say like, oh, but it's a private business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that argument doesn't really, you know, hold any water. And again, it almost seems like we're just becoming a giant cult of personality. There's just a few men behind the curtain, whoever they are, that I guess get to decide, some NGO, you know, that tells mm-hmm. Google what to do. You know, is that George Soros? I mean, who even know this is? Who is this person that's deciding what's hateful? I venture to believe everything is hateful to someone, and mm-hmm. and so it's really kind of a dangerous society that we're getting towards if we don't have anybody standing up for free speech. And you know, there is some people that are, you know, maybe not quite our brand of Christian, or maybe not even Christian, that are fighting supposedly for free speech. And there's a lot of these quote unquote alternative platforms. But I've noticed that on these quote alternative platforms, they still don't want our level of free speech. Like they claim that they're free speech, but like Rumble, you know, I put up the sodomite deception and it got taken down faster than YouTube took it down.
Wow.
Yeah. Or we put up, you know, our sermons or information, you know, like even that Christian app, they're like, oh, YouTube's censoring Christians. And I'm like, well, here's what I preach and here's our content. It's like, well, we can't have that. And it's just like, it doesn't seem like anybody actually believes in free speech anymore,
right.
Which is kind of a sad day for America, because you're really not limiting hate speech, you're just limiting the truth.
But, right.
We have another caller. Peter James is calling in, and I think that he has a plug-in that has to do with Pastor Menes here too. But Peter, are you on the line? Can you hear us?
Yeah. Hey, how are you guys?
Great. Up, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Hey, Pastor Menes, how are you?
I'm good. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah. So you guys are talking about censorship.
Yes, sir. You got a question or a story for us?
Well, you know, I've been censored on Facebook a lot when I just post basic opposition to, like, you know, sodomite brainwashing of children and that kind of thing. and it becomes more rampant, but now they banned my main Facebook account, so I can't even plug the Northeast New IFB conference night that's happening in June.
Plug it.
Have you heard about that, Pastor Shelley, over there at Steadfast?
I feel like I need to hear more about it. Why don't you tell us?
Well, if you haven't heard, Pastor Jimenez, who you have on the program tonight, is going to be out here preaching on June 10th in New Jersey. And that hasn't been censored yet. And not only is Pastor Jimenez going to be here preaching, also Pastor Aaron Thompson will be here as well. And that's on a Friday night, June 10th. And then on June 11th, we're going to have a soul-winning marathon. So I'm trying to spread the word abroad for this event. It's going to be exciting. I've been excited about it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we want to fight that Facebook censorship and get that information out there. Sounds like a dynamic duo, and that's going to be great. Too bad I'm, like, I don't know, 25 hours away from New Jersey or something like that. But
I know that Pastor Jimenez must have a lot more love than he gets credit for if he's willing to come from sunny California to New Jersey here.
Yeah, the Garden State, huh? Although yeah, I'm sure it's nice in the summer there. Isn't it nice in New Jersey in the summertime?
Oh, well, let me just say this. Like, it gets a bad rap and we joke about it, but New Jersey is a great state, the great state of New Jersey. It is the Garden State. Got four good seasons. But the thing is, it's March right now in New Jersey, and that's when we get, you know, those bitter, windy cold. But other than that, I like how we have the four distinct seasons. They're not too extreme. But people think it's just a drab, dreary kind of state. But, you know, I like living in New Jersey. But, yeah, I'm really excited that Pastor Jimenez is coming out here to visit, and Pastor Thompson. That's going to be awesome. I'm trying to prepare things.
Yeah, hopefully you'll have a big crowd. If someone has any questions about it, how do they contact or who do they need to contact? Or is there an email or something?
They can contact me. They can email me at eastcoastbaptist1@gmail.com. Also, there's information about, it's called the Northeast New IFB Conference Night. And there's information about it on the Verity Baptist Church YouTube channel, also on the Pillar and Ground YouTube channel, Sure Foundation Baptist Church YouTube channel. Pastor Thompson posted about it as well. But, you know, I'm really excited. You know, one thing I'm really excited about is that we have two church planting pastors coming. And because that, you know, that's basically my vision and my hope for this part of the country, is to see churches planted out here in my lifetime. But it's been really, you know, one thing that's been really delightful, like, as a Christian to see, is basically seeing other people's, you know, growth and their progression, and seeing, you know, how, you know, God is using them. So Pastor Jimenez sent out Pastor Thompson, and, you know, you have one church planting pastor who sent out a pastor who is now a church planting pastor. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You know, there's lots of trees. You know, we have a couple of trees of life coming over here, and hopefully we can get some churches planted over here as well in the future.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the East Coast needs the gospel really bad. And, you know, we need more people that are willing to go out to these parts, the Garden State. So maybe your conference can plant some seeds in some young men's hearts that want to maybe reach that demographic, reach that area. And I know I listened to a podcast one time, and someone said that California is the front lines, and that Texas is like where you go to just relax.
Well, I think you're proving us wrong.
Just a party.
No one ever wants to come to California because it's so tough. And I think you're proving that they should come to California and get a break from all the persecution there in Texas. So,
well, you know, I know people are giving Texas a bad rep, but I did see that they recently appointed in California, it's the first state to have an openly transgender judge.
Oh, man.
And so I know the judges over here get a bad rep, but I have a bad feeling that if I had to go get evicted in front of that judge, probably wouldn't do very good either.
Right. So I hadn't heard that.
Just sitting out there.
That's actually the first I've heard of that. So I'm going to look into that and make a short about that. But, you know, yeah. I do want to say that I'm really excited about going to New Jersey. And if anybody lives in New Jersey, New York, or driving distance, surrounding area, come out and see us. That's June 10th, Friday night. I'll be preaching. Pastor Thompson will be preaching. Looking forward to spending time with Pastor Thompson and Miss Sherry. And I'm going to bring out my entire family, my wife and all my kids. We're going to be there for that Friday night and for the Saturday soul winning. And it's going to be a great time. And I've known Peter for a long time. He recently sent me a text with a picture of when I baptized him. And I don't know when that was. Was that 2000? I don't know if Peter's still on the line. It might have been 2015 or 14 or something like that.
Yeah, that would have been August 2014.
Yeah. Wow. So we've known each other for a long time. And I love Brother Peter. And he's been coming out to the Red Hot Preaching Conference for years. And every year he's been asking me about preaching in New Jersey. And I always have an excuse why I can't. But this last time he asked me again and I said, let's do it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great trip.
Hey, persistence is key there.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. There's like a preaching.
That poor widow.
Yeah.
Woman.
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, I'm bothering my friend, but you know, because of his importunity, he's going to arrive exactly. And give me some bread.
Exactly.
I truly do appreciate that a lot. And, you know, I trust that, you know, I trust that, you know, my fellow Christians, you know, believe the scriptures the same way I do. And I know that they believe in going, you know, I believe that when I ask God, I receive, and I believe Christians, you know, they have spirit of God in their heart and that they want, you know, to, they have like the word of God that says, you know, if someone compels you to go a mile, go with them twain, mm-hmm. But you're going a lot farther than that. You're going like 3,000 miles, I guess.
So does that mean he has to go to China? Like if you're willing to go to New Jersey, you have to go all the way to China.
To the Philippines.
So not only
to the Philippines,
but all
there
the way to. So cool. It's great. Yeah, I'm really excited and I appreciate it. And it's going to be a good appetizer to the Red Hot Preaching Conference this summer, I think.
Well, that's really exciting. Sorry about your Facebook censorship. I think that's something that almost everybody's probably experienced at this point. You know, anybody that shares anything that has any kind of teeth to it, it seems like Facebook will put you in jail for just about anything. And we're not even just talking about Christians. It seems like everybody's kind of experiencing this censorship. And to me, it almost seems like everybody's kind of sick of it. Like everybody kind of hates it a little bit, but at the same time, they're just kind of going with the flow. And you know, I don't know what new technologies or new things that we can invent in the future. Obviously, technology we've benefited a lot from, but I guess it's possible technology may not necessarily continue to be the fruitful, you know, harvest that we've had. And the one thing that still works is going in person. You know, mm-hmm. You're not going to not hear Pastor Minna's sermon when you actually show up in New Jersey. Was it June 10th?
Yep, June 10th.
And you hear him in person.
Well, yeah, I'll give the exact meetup details to both days before I hang up. But you know, the thing about that is, and Dylan quoted before Psalm 2 about, you know, the rulers setting themselves, taking counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. But you know, saying, let us break their bands asunder. But what's funny about that is how, you know, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. So what's been so great is like seeing that, you know, this new world order or whatever, how, you know, and this satanic system, how they have all this, they're meaning all this for evil and they have all these plans for the technology, but God is basically just like, you know, let's see how many people I can, will see the Bible way to heaven. And like, you know, let me, and seeing Christians use these tools and the tools that they're given in this generation. And we know that the gospel is going to be preached in, you know, in the last days. And even though like wickedness is going to abound, you know, great works for God are going to be done. So that's why you can kind of just relax about it, even though it's so strange seeing this, you know, your country being given over to these delusions of, you know, and literally like having a demented president and who is just, you know, like who should we elect to the Supreme Court? I know who's going to be what the qualification should be. As long as it's a black woman, that's who we're choosing. And, you know, we're going to have a trans admiral. We're going to, take this tranny and we're going to honor them with all these honors and these accolades. And then just getting, you know, a normal person stating their opinion. You know, these people have control over these systems that disseminate information, and, you know, they can censor information. And, you know, these weird blue-haired Marxists, they're the ones in control of it. It's so weird.
You know, I guess I can say,
you don't have to worry about it as much.
Right. I feel like I keep hearing this song less now, that proud to be an American. Yeah. It's like, yeah. How much longer can they even play that song?
Good.
I mean, with the way that our country's turning, it's just, you know, I don't even know how people can be patriotic anymore.
I'm just hoping Putin will invade us, because at least, you know, he's not going to put up with the transvestites at this point.
That is Dylan's hope.
Good.
And it's an interesting hope, but I don't think it's going to happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You might have to prepare.
But you know what?
It's more likely that Kamala is going to be in charge than exactly. Putin.
But, you know, I like that attitude, Brother Peter, because honestly, the censorship definitely does affect us. Don't get us wrong. It is a headache. It is a headache, you know, putting in months and months of labor into a building and going through all the legal processes for months and months and getting evicted in a country where we thought we had the First Amendment. That is very frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating when you get your banking shut down. It's very frustrating when people don't want to work with you. But, you know, just so the audience is aware, Steadfast Baptist Church is doing great. You know, we were four people shy of breaking our attendance record this Sunday morning in a temporary meeting space, you know, compared to the number that we had in our building before. Between Thursday and Saturday, our church had 76 salvations, Tons and tons of soul winners, and it's all by God's grace. But I like what Brother Peter said, you know, at the end, God's going to have the last laugh. And, you know, as long as we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we really can sit back and relax, because we're watching our church, you know, we're seeing with our own eyes how true the Bible is, that the more they afflict us, the more we grow, just like in the book of Exodus. And so even though it is a headache, if we have to suffer the headache of censorship so that more people will be saved, so that we can continue to preach the word of God, then that's worth it, if you ask me.
Yeah, and I mean, with the censorship, we kind of have to put this in perspective of historical biblical situations. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't have his YouTube channel shut down. You know, these guys in the Bible, you know, to me, technology is kind of like sugar, is like the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gospel's been preached person to person for the last few thousand years. You know, it wasn't being disseminated online. And while I'm all for online, I love, you know, being able to put our sermons up and people can watch them later and they don't have to miss that content. You know, we really need to still embrace traditional methods of going to church in person, going out and knocking the doors, preaching the gospel. And of course, you know, I don't think that the censorship is going to stop with the online. You know, eventually they're going to get to the point where they're trying to stop the physical meetings.
Yep.
And, you know, the devil inhabiting the Antichrist is going to cause you to not even be able to buy or sell literally. And so we're not really looking to a bright future. In fact, we're really headed towards the Antichrist, a great falling away. Yeah. And we need people to get plugged in, because I feel like it's a ticking time bomb online. I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to have a major impact. I think that we're going to still be able to slip through the cracks, and we're going to still be able to do cool things like your banned but not bound email list and other methods. But, you know, there's nothing to replace the physical, in-person, going to church, preaching the gospel out, you know, knocking doors, and even just the people you interact with. I got a text message from a friend who just said that they got one of their coworkers saved. And, you know, they said that's a really cool experience that they're able to share with the people that they know in their personal lives, getting family members saved. We had a call in last week where someone was talking about how they got a bunch of their family members saved. And so that's what we need, is people to start talking to their family members, to their coworkers, to their neighbors, going to their church, getting plugged in, preaching the gospel, and making an impact where they're at locally. That's how you really fight this censorship. That's how you really combat this evil. And you need to get out there June 10th, New Jersey. Peter James, Real Zealous Soul winner. Great lineup, Pastor Jimenez, Pastor Thompson. And, you know, thanks for that plug. Do you have another question, Peter, you want to ask us before
well,
I let you go?
I don't have any more questions, but, you know, I totally agree with everything you said. I believe God is never, he's never going to leave us without the tools to preach the gospel, you know, even as dark as things get, you know, and even as close to the end as we get, I think we're always going to have what God thinks we need to accomplish what he wants in that time. So, you know, and it's like you said, they can't stop us from, you know, if they take away our Facebooks, that's fine. It's like a digital detox for 30 days. It's fine to be banned for Facebook, but you know, if they take away your YouTube, then you have your emailing list. And if they take that away, you know, you meet in church and, you know, you can go to your friend's house. You can call them. You can go out and knock doors. No one can stop you from walking up to somebody and giving them the gospel. And, you know, that's the goal of the weekend in June. We really just want to corral some soul winners and some zealous believers. I know they're out here. We just want to remind them that, you know, God is still on the throne. He needs to be served. And, you know, we want to kind of inspire people to get back out there and go soul winning. You know, I believe it's really important too. I believe the Bible emphasizes in the New Testament, especially continuing in, you know, what you've learned. If you've been given something good, if you've been taught something that's good and right and godly and God used, you know, certain people who are on the right path and, you know, churches and, you know, his people to teach you the right way, you know, you should stick with that and consider that and not be so quick to just, you know, turn away from that, you know, forsake people who've taught you. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's blessings for staying the course. So, you know, we want to see what God can do out here if we work with what we have. If Pastor Jimenez and Pastor Thompson, they come out in June and a lot of people show up and God sees that people are interested in serving the Lord out here, God willing, I want to know people who know people who know people that, you know, one day want to come start churches in New Jersey. So that's the plan here. But if there's no interest, God might not necessarily invest in New Jersey. So I'm trying to, you know, cultivate that harvest here in New Jersey the best I can and with my friends over here.
Well, I hope that the, you know, churches get started over there too. And thanks again for calling in. We really appreciate you being on the line. And I look forward to seeing you again, hopefully at the Red Hot Preaching Conference, if not some other day, some other place.
Good to see. Good to hear from you, Peter.
So,
yeah, Pastor Jimenez, it's really good to hear from you too. And I'll catch up with you more. And it was really good talking to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks. We did have another question I saw put in the chat, and someone kind of just asked, do you think the censorship is going to kind of ramp up? You know, one thing that's interesting is even though obviously some of our friends and some Baptists have been persecuted, I've seen this in a lot of places, even not just like our circles. There's a guy named Andrew Torba who created like an alternative social media site called Gab. And that guy's been severely shut down. I saw an article. It said that he had been shut down at his fifth bank in a row in like a really short period of time. I think it was just only a few weeks, and they're getting like all of their accounts shut down. Just basically they can't even bank this business because it's just basically disseminating too much truth. And you know, I don't know exactly what they believe. I don't even know if Torba's necessarily saved. I know that he's a Christian and that he's pretty unashamed about being a Christian. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Any level of Christianity is just being censored. He can't even be on the App Store, I don't believe. I've been on Gab, but, you know, it's just hard sometimes for these things to even take traction. Because if they want to shut you down, they're going to get you shut down. And that's why I think you got to go back to the traditional methods. Because, again, the banned but not bound email list, if you think about the story, it's the Apostle Paul's put in prison. And he's saying, hey, the gospel didn't stop when I went to prison. You guys need to go out and preach the gospel. You know, it's not Paul that gets the gospel out. Christians get out the gospel. And, you know, even if, God forbid, you know, they shut down Steadfast Baptist Church or did something to Verity Baptist Church, you know, we're not the end stop of the gospel or the preaching of God's word. We need other people, other like-minded Christians, to be stirred up and to preach the truth and have boldness and have courage and to basically not be ashamed of Jesus Christ, be ashamed of his word. What is kind of your feeling for the future in just this area, Pastor Menez? What are you kind of preparing your church in any way or?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I want to say is that the Bible says there's no new thing under the sun. And the truth is that censorship in the way we're seeing it seems new to us right now, obviously with social media and all that stuff. But censorship is not new. I mean, if you remember in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ, his very first sermon, when he really launched his ministry after his baptism, they tried to throw him off a cliff, you know? And then you've got Stephen, of course, he's preaching the word of God and they stone him to death. But so people's trying to stop true Christianity is not new. It happened to Jesus. I mean, they ended up crucifying our Savior. So the cancel culture has been around for a long time. What I think is funny is that people look at us and they'll say, like, you're not a real Christian. Christians aren't supposed to hate. And it's like, well, you obviously have never read the Gospels. You've never read the Book of Acts. You've never read. I mean, literally, Paul has these Jews following him around, trying to get him thrown out of every city, trying to get him shut down, trying to get him canceled. Paul, you know, people will look at like my church or your church and say, well, you guys, there must be something wrong with you if you're getting sued. And it's like, have you read the last part of the Book of Acts? I mean, the whole end of it is just like court case after court case is just being brought before all these different people. So, you know, we're living New Testament Christianity. It's just New Testament Christianity has a lot of persecution and issues, is the reality. And people need to just start reading the Bible and realize that. But I do, obviously, I do see it getting worse and worse. Like you said, we're moving towards a one world government, a one world religion. We're moving towards a world that is so under control that they can control who can buy and sell. So obviously, it's not gonna get better in regards to that. And it really is ingenious what our country has done, because, you know, usually it used to be when I was a kid, people would talk about the government and fearing the government, and we should fear the government. I mean, you know, we should be worried about the government in regards to what they're doing. But, you know, we have laws in this country that say that you can't create laws against free speech. So what the government has done is they've allowed these private companies to control the dissemination of speech in the world. And now they're able to kind of stand back and support these wicked companies like Facebook and YouTube and Google and whatever, and they don't have to follow these laws of allowing free speech because they're quote unquote private companies, private entities, or whatever. It's this culture that has been developed to make sure that they can control speech, that they can control information, and we have to, like you said, we have to fight against it. But we also we need to try to be cutting edge with technology and with our thoughts. You know, the thing about Christianity has always been has always used the cutting edge of technology. I mean, go back to William Tyndale and the invention of the printing press, and that was used by Christians. Big Baptist churches like, you know, Jack Hiles and Curtis Hudson and Lee Roberson, these guys, they had these mailing lists where they would tape the sermons from their churches and they would physically mail them out every week or every other week or every month to all these mailing lists that they had. And I thought, you know, that's kind of what gave me the idea for the Banned But Not Bound. Obviously, we're not going to send tapes out, but to get email lists and send links. Yeah, well, we may have to do that at some point. Who knows?
Go back to Discman, Walkman.
Well, we could always send out transcribed sermons.
Yeah.
And, you know, people might just have to learn how to read again.
Right.
And get back to reading, you know, too. But like you said, God did not call us. I mean, I'm all for using all that, but God called us to local New Testament churches. And, you know, when John the Baptist was preaching, people came out to the wilderness to hear him preach. And I just believe, you know, if they take us off the internet, which I'm not sure that they will or when they will or whatever, it might be one of the best things that ever happened to our churches. I mean, I go soul winning in Sacramento. I can't tell you how many times I've knocked doors. I mean, I've literally been like down the street from our church, knock on a door. The door opens and I'm like, hi, we're coming from Verity Baptist Church. And the person's like, oh, I know who you are, Pastor Jimenez. I watch you on YouTube. And they literally live down the street from our church and don't come to our church. Wow. And I mean, I've had stuff like that happen a lot. And you know, if they take us down from YouTube, then maybe people will actually get their rear ends in the house of God, which wouldn't be a bad thing. So like you said, one great way to not have the sermons canceled is for you to go, you know, to New Jersey to the preaching night, be there. You know, if you don't mind, let me plug the Red Hot Preaching Conference in July, which Pastor Shelley is going to be preaching at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. We have a great lineup this year. Of course, Pastor Anderson, Pastor Mejia, Pastor Thompson, Pastor Jones is invited to come, and Pastor Berzins is coming. He hasn't came in a few years, but he's coming. And Pastor Bazarnski, I hope I'm not forgetting anyone else, but we're gonna have a great lineup. And here's the thing about the Red Hot Preaching Conference is we can't stream it on our main channel because it gets shut down. We have to set up a secondary channel, which if you want to be able to watch the Red Hot Preaching Conference live stream, go to bannedbutnotbound.com, sign up to our email list, because we will disseminate the link through there. And if it gets shut down, we'll start up another account and send it that way. But here's so we'll do our best to get the information out there, but here's a great way to not miss it. Just come. Come to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. And it's this year, July 14th through the 17th. You know, we'd love for you to come to Red Hot, of course.
Amen. And, you know, that's absolutely right. If you're anywhere near Sacramento, California, you need to go to Verity Baptist Church. And especially if you can't just make it to every service, you need to come to the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Mm-hmm. It's the greatest conference of the year. I've been there almost every single year. I kick myself because, of course, I didn't make the first year. And I was like, I asked a whole bunch of people and at church, I said, hey, who wants to go with me? I'll carpool. And I couldn't find anyone. And I just didn't make the drive by myself. I should have just driven by myself, let's be honest. And but I made it the next year, and I made it almost every year since then. I think the year that I had to start Pure Words Baptist Church, I might have missed one of those years there too. But great conference, great spirit. I think they had over 500 last year, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bigger number. Of course, you know, with COVID and things like that, it kind of dampens some people's plans. Right. But I think a lot of people are kind of over that now. And I wouldn't be surprised if this conference grows to where it's literally thousands in the future. It's one of the most anticipated events. People love it. Every single time I've ever gone, everybody seems to have a great time. And they have a lot of great activities.
Hey, it's where I met my wife.
Hey, some people get married.
Single guys out there and, looking for a godly lady. That's
you know, you I go. Know they had a football competition. Last year they had a ping pong competition. Mm-hmm. I think the person that won was from, what was the church?
Ping pong?
Yeah, who won the ping pong? I can't.
Who was that, Pastor Jimenez?
Well, you know, just like Google put out new laws as a result of my preaching, we might have to put out new laws as a result of Steadfast Baptist Church, because you guys brought these professional ringers in. And, you know, you paid them to fly out to the conference and The good thing is we got them saved while they were here. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, good. Amen. No. Well, I have to say that, you know, we did have a couple guys from our church come. They were in the final, the finals. In fact, there was another person in the finals. I think it was just an all steadfast finals once we got to the last three people in the competition. Mm-hmm. I had to gracefully bow out but
esteeming others better than yourself, of course.
Yeah, exactly. But I did not pay a single dollar, I don't think, for these men's trips. So, you know, they were just there and they're definitely welcoming of the next ping pong, game, if we have that again. I don't know if you're bringing that back.
Well, you know, the first year we did football, and we lost that to Sure Foundation. And then the second year we did the year after that we did ping pong, and we lost that to Steadfast. So we're just gonna keep changing it till we find something we can win at. So I think this year we're doing water polo. No, I'm just kidding.
Water polo.
No. We're doing ping pong again and table tennis.
All right.
It's just football was nice, but it was a lot of work and being outside and all of that. It worked out really well with the table tennis because we were able to do it in our fellowship hall and people had a good time. And the ladies were more interested in that than football too. So the kids were able to participate, which they weren't able to participate with football. So we're going to do table tennis again.
Well, you had some great kiddos in the table tennis. Some youngsters were really tearing it up in ping pong. And so I look forward to seeing how the competition goes again this year. And we really appreciate you putting on that conference. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of effort, but you know what? You can't get censored when you're at the conference and you're hearing it live. You know, that's the best way to hear sermons is in person. That's how it's always been done. It's how it's all going to continue to be done. And while they can definitely shut down a lot of things, as long as we got breath in our lungs, we're going to keep preaching. And that's what God's called us to do. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I know there's so much more we could talk about, but I feel like we've taken a lot of your time already. And we really appreciate you coming on for one last podcast this season. And I know it's probably better than other podcasts in California, but I do at least appreciate you coming on the show and supporting our church too. Pastor Jimenez has been a supporter of Steadfast Baptist Church and they've done a lot for our church, emotionally, financially, sending preachers to fill pulpits. And you got a great staff over there. I really can't recommend Verity Baptist Church enough.
Amen.
It's a great spirit. And obviously y'all are doing a great job over there. I can't imagine being in Sacramento, California. The weather's beautiful. I'm just not a California guy. But you know what? I would move there for Verity Baptist Church.
Amen.
So, you know, to me, that's the appeal of Sacramento is Verity. To some people, it's the one blemish. And to me, it's the one bright spot. And so I really appreciate the work that y'all are doing out there. And if you have any final comments, I'll let you kind of give us, you know, your final concluding thoughts here, Pastor Jimenez.
Yeah, thank you. So you have a great church there, and I know you've been getting hit a lot in a lot of different ways. And I got him saved. I got him baptized. I performed his wedding. And so hopefully the tree is known by his fruit. So hopefully he's making me look good over there. But I know he is. And we love Brother Dylan, Pastor Thompson, of course, everyone. And I appreciate you having us on. And, you know, I just want to encourage people to keep fighting the good fight and definitely get in a local church. Find a good church in your area and get connected. That is the number one plan. And, you know, when it comes to censorship and how we're going to fight it, I'm all for looking for alternative ways and different, trying different things. But at the end of the day, the best way to fight censorship is to have ordained preachers sent out to start local churches. And if we can have a new IFB church in every city in this country, they can't stop us. They could stop me, you know, they could stop you, they could stop individuals, but they can't stop all of us. And that's really what we need, is church planning, soul winning, preaching the word of God, using every available means, but at the end of the day, realizing that the answer is the local New Testament church.
Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. Get into Verity Baptist Church, and if you come back, maybe we can give you, you know, a better bin. We just kind of just working on our bench players here, but thanks so much.
Tell Ben I missed him.
Yeah, I will. Thanks so much for coming on, and we'll throw it over to Dylan. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, just a couple things. First of all, thank you very much, Pastor Menes, for coming on. You know, like you said, you got me saved, baptized me, you married me and my wife. And so I really do look up to you, and you definitely mean a lot to me. I look up to you as a leader, and I just appreciate all the work you've done. And honestly, you've changed my life. So keep doing the great work. I'm sure that many other people have that testimony. And, you know, like you said, we just have to keep preaching. And since this is the Baptist bias, I want to read some scripture here, because there was a point where people wanted Jesus Christ to shut his mouth, and they weren't just threatening to, you know, take him off YouTube or kick him out of his building. It was actually a lot worse than that. In John 5, he had just healed a man. And in John 15, it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So Jesus, he wasn't just facing, you know, being deplatformed. People were literally trying to kill him. And sometimes we have to put things in perspective of the level of persecution that we're facing now versus the level of persecution that we can face in the future. But what was the Lord Jesus Christ's reaction in verse 17? You know, did he cower? Did he stop preaching? Did he apologize? He said, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. He just kept preaching, just like these pastors are saying. That's the answer. When Jesus Christ was faced with persecution, with people wanting to shut him up, he didn't shut up. He didn't let them stop him. He kept preaching. And guess what? It did cost him his life eventually. But you know what? If he wouldn't have done that, none of us could be saved. And so that might even be the level of persecution that God may require of us and of our generation so that other people would be saved. And what we need to do is we need to pray for boldness, because it's real easy to just say, oh yeah, keep preaching, you know, even if it's up to death. That's real easy to say. But I have to imagine that that's a whole nother thing to actually do. And so, you know, church members watching this, what you can be doing is to be praying for your pastor, praying for the people that are preaching the word of God, that they'll have the boldness. And, you know, us ourselves as preachers praying for ourselves that we would continue to have the boldness to preach the word of God. And there's one more thing that I'd like to plug before we sign off, and that is next month, April 22nd through the 25th is going to be a soul-winning marathon put on by Sure Foundation Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan. I'm going to be going to this. I know Deacon Corbin Russell is going to be going to this, and many other people are going to be going. It's a great soul-winning marathon to go to, especially if you've never been to one before, especially because the tickets are so cheap, because no one wants to go to Detroit for any other reason. And I got my plane tickets for less than $200. So if you want to learn how to preach the gospel, or you want to just have some receptive soul winning, come out with us to Detroit, Michigan, April 22nd to the 25th to preach the gospel.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in to the Baptist Bias. You can check us out on all kinds of different podcasts. We've got Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify. Obviously, we're trying to be on YouTube and Facebook as much until they censor us. And of course, the Jews didn't like how many subscribers Jesus was getting.
Right.
They were afraid he was going to eventually have them all, so they had to crucify him. And of course, they're going to constantly try to shut us down, but we're going to keep fighting. And I look forward to season two. We're going to have a lot of good ideas and a great show. Hopefully, maybe we can have some guests back on the show, maybe Pastor Menes back on the show for a future episode. But that's going to do it for us for season one. Thanks so much for tuning in The Baptist Bias. Check us out, share us, blog us, tweet us. We'll see you again after a while.